Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you very much for the message of sonship. There will be no message of sonship if there is no message of Father. So we pray, Father, that you would teach us today. You would speak to our hearts. You would open them. You would give us understanding. I pray for encouragement, that you would encourage the young people to take the calling and election, to get the understanding and fill their lives with purpose, which comes from you, Father, and from the relationship with you and from loving you. We pray this morning that you give us anointing, you give us the ability to be like you, to read your mind, to understand you, Lord, and to convey to the young people, whatever age, to convey your desire for us. And the way to overcome, the way to become like you are. Amen. The Lord has put in my heart a few things, but actually most of what He has put on my heart is to it's to do with you, in a sense of to preach ourselves. How do they say it? To preach ourselves out of job. So we'll be actually putting the burden on you to do the preaching. Amen. Am I all set? A few words before we hand it over to you. The Lord has woken me up, or maybe I woke up and the Lord was merciful to fill the time. You know, sometimes we blame the Lord for waking me up, and maybe He's just merciful and coming in the morning. And He said a few things. Then He gave me more instruction, but in the beginning He said, encourage them. Encourage them. And I was thinking about encouraging, what it really is, encouragement. And I believe encouragement is to give courage. Amen? Because you need to be courageous. You need to have the strength. You need to be able to go and conquer. You know, one of the attribute or parts of your Father God is that He has courage. And Jesus had courage. Amen? Jesus wasn't bashful. Jesus wasn't, Son of God, I mean. He wasn't hidden there and afraid. We are singing the song, and I believe we can sing it, and we can sing it even better with better understanding. You know, we will not fear what the devil can do, because we know who the devil is. Amen. And we actually can decide about the fate of the devil in our lives, and then actually, in partly in lives of people around us. So, to give courage, I found two scriptures. And you wouldn't be surprised if I tell you it has something to do with Joshua. Amen? Joshua was a man of courage, wasn't he? You know, he had the courage. When he's seeing troubles and giants and situations, he's seen God more than the giants. You know, and he had courage. But in the middle of God, Lord God speaking to Moses, and He was speaking things against the people of Israel because of their attitude, he dropped, and I give you two places. Both is from Deuteronomy. Can I have my water sitting somewhere, Joshua? Somewhere there. Thank you. And it's 138, Deuteronomy 138. You know, this is the, I'm sure if you play with the parents, this Bible questions, you know, the funny questions, you know this one, don't you? Who is in the Bible, which character in the Bible has no parents? And this is the Joshua, the son of Nun, you know, and you laugh, and, you know. So I remember this one. There's a lot of good games you can play at home, you know, with the family, related to Bible, and try to guess a character, and this one is a funny one. Anyway, so 138. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither. Encourage him. This is what God says to Moses. Encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Amen. So I believe God told me and told us to encourage you, because I believe you, as the next and next and next generations, will be the one to cause Israel to inherit the land. Amen. Amen. So part of our job is actually to have the offsprings being able to do even further than we can do. Jesus, he has no problem. He says, you will do even more than that I did. It's a desire of every parent, of every elder, of every Christian, of every person, is desire, you know, that the next generation, that the others, actually out, what would be the word? Outperform, okay? In a good sense, amen? So, encourage, because they will, he will, Joshua that is, cause Israel to inherit the land. And in the same book, chapter 3, verse 28, it says, but charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before these people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. Amen? So we do believe that part of this exercise of the conferences and the things like this are actually to encourage you, give you the courage, give you the abilities and strength to go where we cannot go. And I hope that we are offspring, you know, ourselves. I am an offspring too. You know, we've been taught and we've been sitting, you know, in congregations like this, and clumsy in our delivery, in our speech, and clumsy in our character in many ways. And I'm too bashful to, you know, too afraid to tell you some of the stories. Because perhaps you would say, listen to me no more, you know. We've been doing crazy things because we were born again just, you know, where you are in 16, 17, and we were staggering there, not even walking with the Lord, staggering with the Lord. People invested in us, and they gave us the word, and as we kept staggering and walking, some way our walks started to straighten, you know. Some of it is not straightened yet, but you know, God recently spoke to us, to my wife and me, and spoke to us about a quiver full. Do you know the scripture, quiver full? What is it? What is it full of? Arrows, which is? The children, isn't it? The children. But you know, some people take it and they take the full as the key word, you know. And they think the scripture is speaking about having lots of kids. And I do believe in having lots of kids. You know, I do believe that the trend to have a kid or two is not God's. I mean, of course, there are situations, you know, medical and others. That's a different story. But if you can, you know, we would encourage you to have more, because it's a blessing. But it's only part of it. You know, the question is not only to have it full, but full of what? And God hasn't given a man children as a sword. You know, if it's a sword, you still have control, don't you? You know, sword is a weapon that you know, you are still the one who is in control, and the sword is there in your hand, just, you know, moving as you swing the sword, amen? But that's not what God made, is it? You know, he made the children as arrows. And I believe the symbolism of this is actually that there will be a time in your life, and maybe it's already in some of your lives, maybe some of you already crossed the border, crossed the line, and this is where, you know, the arrow just flies on its own, and there's no control your parents will have over you anymore. You know, there's a time to shape the arrow, and there's time to release the arrow, and the arrow flies and does the job. You know, and you hope and pray that you have done a good enough job with the arrow, whether you still could shape it, Because now you can't go and follow it and fix, you know, you can't go there and kind of, if you are a, what's the word, archer?
Yep.
Yes. If you're an archer, you know, you can't fly next to it and adjust it. You know, these days you have weapons like this that actually you can adjust as they go. But the arrow actually is just flying on its own. And whatever you have done in the beginning will cause the arrow to be successful or not. And this is our hope. You know, this is what we try to do with prayer and hope and desire, that you will accomplish what we couldn't accomplish because God takes you to different directions. So we would like to encourage you. We'd like to encourage you and shape you into a good shape. And I was asking the Lord, I said, well, is there some, you know, something in it? Because I am not really knowledgeable about archery. You know, but there are a few things I would know. Little things, obvious things. You know, one of the things is it needs to be sharp, right? It needs to be, you know, to the point or has a point or whatever you call it. It can't be, you know, this blah. You know, the how do you call it? It's not edge, is it? It's a
blunt.
What is it? Blunt?
Huh? Field tip or broad?
Tip, that may be. Yes. The tip has to be, you know, sharp. So you have to be sharp. You have to know the Bible. You have to, you can't have, you know, vague understanding of the Bible. Kind of, I know what I believe. Amen? You have to know. You have to have the Word of God. You have to have the Scripture. Amen? So you have to have the point sharp. You have to know. And you have to by practicing, by getting into discussions and able to defend your faith and defend what you believe. I also believe it has to be hard. You know, maybe it's not the big ones, they are not from wood, are they? I mean, the arrow is, but not the tip. It's usually metal, isn't it, or something? You know, because it has to penetrate whatever, you know, helmet or whatever it has to penetrate, you know. So it has to be tough. It has to go through fire. It has to go through things. But also, not only it has to have ability to penetrate and be strong, but it has to have a straight flight, in a way. Straight walk, if I translate it to our language more. Okay, so when you are on your own, then you fly straight. Because if you are, and if you have all the knowledge, if you have all the abilities, if you have the tip, but you can't fly, you can't walk your life, you can't do the job, you know, it will mislead you, and you will not ever make it. And then, last thing, before we get to what we want to do here, last thing is, the Lord told me, you know, Martin, you know that from physics, you know, I'm sure you know that, you've studied that too. If I want to send the arrow very far, where do I shoot?
Up.
Okay, it's 45 degrees, you know, if you want to note for your physics. It's 45 degrees, it's, you know, this is 90 degrees, isn't it? So 45 is the middle. All right, so funny enough, I want to, you know, I want to send you there. But the Lord is actually not giving us, the parents, the authority to point at a place. That's not our job. You know, go there. You know, we do send you to heaven. You know, we direct you to God. This is our, you know, we cannot tell you and give you the instructions, you become so and so, you travel to this country, you marry this one, you do that, you know, this is not ours, this is God's. So we kind of shoot you to heaven, and, you know, we believe God will take care of the rest. Amen? So this is what we are doing, hopefully. Pray for us to be diligent as parents and elders and whoever, to be diligent in helping you, encouraging you, giving you the potential and abilities that can go even beyond ours. And we would be very proud if you outrun us in every aspect. Please, please do. That will be the biggest joy and our success as, you know, the archers, if you wish. Amen. So, do forgive us. Do forgive us, you know, the two seasons. One season is the shaping of the arrow, you know, which actually is not difficult, it's not bad, you shape it. But then the tension there, you know. Just before you're released, you know, there's this tension. And perhaps you feel it, you know. It's being a little bit stretched. And do forgive us, it's for good. Amen. Anyway, bless you. Be encouraged. I believe God put on my heart something for you to do, actually. It's nice, isn't it? God told me what you should do. Yesterday, no, was it yet? Well, maybe the night before, we had this white table, and we do have a picture of it, so if you want to come back to it, you can. There's a picture of it, all right? And we had three sections. Who are you? Who are we compared to Jesus? And why are you not walking in it? Or what is hindering you back? I believe we pretty much covered these two parts, and I did talk to some of you, most of you actually, and you gave me feedback that it helped your understanding, that you know it's there, you still need to get back to it. But the third part, we flew through, didn't we? We did mention Galatians about the child of God and the sons of God, about the maturity and growing. But there were good scriptures we didn't tackle from Romans 7 and 8 mortifying the flesh and other things we just briefly touched. And I believe we need to go through this more properly. Actually, you do. What do we want you to do is we all understand the principle that there's nothing you can do about being Elohim. You are Elohim by being human. Amen? So you have the potential, you have the soul. Every unbeliever, every drunkard, they have the soul that can receive the Word of God. Amen? They have the potential. What is the book, the Mr. Pagalo? Yeah? He was able to receive, you know, everybody. Look at people now. From now on, look at people like Elohims. They have soul that is able to receive the Word of God and become like God. And by the way, this is one of our jobs.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
To find the people that we have the seed, you know, give them the seed to their soul, and the seed will take care of the business. But we understand that we are Elohim. We also understand it's not a difficult job to become a child of God. Let me just double check. Everybody's born again? Yeah, born again. Because if not, that's your homework. That's your step number one. You can't even see the kingdom of God, the Bible says. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Amen? So, Right, and then you enter it and you travel through this. So, our main job now, if you are born again, is to become from child of God, son of God. Amen? And we did say, this is the message of sonship, and we did say, when you're a child of God, you are Lord of all, but you don't get advantage of this inheritance. It's like having a bank account full of money, and you can't use it because you're just a kid. And we all were born again, it doesn't matter what age, you know, and you have to grow through the inheritance. Mainly because you would misappropriate it. If God delivered you all the power that you should have as son of God, you wouldn't be able to handle it. You know, we would use it for our benefits. We would use it against people, you know. Like the disciples, they walk with Jesus and there are people cursing them and say, "Hey, Jesus, I mean, why didn't you send them? You know, lightning and strike them. Wouldn't that be cool?" You know what I mean? This is the children. This is the children. If they had the power, they would do it. You know, and they would go around and... Be careful, okay? No, seriously. This is what children would do, wouldn't they? So you don't give them the power. So if you desire the power of God, you have to grow. Amen? And Jesus... What did Jesus answer them? You don't know what spirit you are. You are to help. You are to bless. Not to kill. You know, it's not your job. Anyway, so the question is, and this is my question really for my life, but I believe you should have the same question. How do I, what are the steps, what do we do to become sons of God? What can I do? In other words, what will you do next week? What will you start doing or continue doing? What will you stop doing? Amen? And the Bible is full of this. The Bible is about this, actually. You know, the Old Testament, the New Testament is about different pictures, if you want. Different examples, different stories. And all of them are actually talking about Christ. Amen? All the Testament is about Christ. And you know, by the way, you are Christ. So yes, it is about Jesus Christ. And hallelujah. But it's also about you. Amen? It's about you. I mean, Joshua is about you. Conquering the land is about you. Tabernacle is about you. It's for you. God made all the provisions. And He has put on my heart, because you are five groups, to give you five pictures or five areas, and you will discuss it. And, you know, in your little groups, discuss it and discuss it as practically as possible. So, I hate to erase it. Is it okay if I erase it and then rewrite it again? That's not to erase a bit. Do we have some piece of paper? Yes, thank you. Can I delegate to you to erase for me this whiteboard, please? And I did write it down. And you can even delete this one. Thank you. And there are several pictures, Old Testament, New Testament, that are from different angles, speaking about what would be the word growth, maturing, whatever. Thank you. Whatever you would call it. And number one, if anybody of you has a little paper, some volunteer, I see Stacy's kind of nodding, and you make like 1 to 5, that we then let them draw, that they have five different numbers. So little paper and band-aid that they don't see the number, they will be drawing what topic they have for each group. Thank you. So, number one, it's a vine tree, isn't it? Vine, it doesn't have W, does it? It's just vine, isn't it? Like this. Vine tree. I put here, spending time. With God. You know the John 15, you know the story, you know the principle. It's a principle of growth, isn't it? But I want you to translate it for me. You know, I know you know the story. I want you to translate it for me. Because if I ask you, what are you going to do next week? You know, if I go for a walk next week and I see a bunch of kids, you know, kind of standing next to the tree or hanging on a tree, what are you doing? You know, sticking to the vine, you know. That's not exactly what the Bible means, right? So, it would be nice that you are diligent, but not helpful. So, what does it mean? Help me. Okay? Preach to us.
It's completely off here.
Oh, it's not me. Being completely off, that was scary. You know, so what we will want from you is each of the group will get 15 minutes where you'll be presenting. You decide how you want to do this. Do you have a representative who presents it? Do you have two people? You know, all of you come and speak? You know, whatever you want to do. But each of the group will have 15 minutes. All right? Which five groups will bring us to hour and 15 minutes. It's not this meeting, obviously. Okay, you need to prepare. And if you're group number one, you need to tell us in 15 minutes some practical things God spoke to you. Things that you do and you will continue doing. Things you don't do but you believe you should start doing. And maybe things that you should stop doing. Amen? And how is it to stick with the, you know, I am the vine, says Jesus. How is it to stick with Jesus that you produce fruit? It's actually good news, isn't it? He didn't tell you, become joyful. Become loving. Become kind. Like,
what do I do?
He told you, I will do it. The Father will do it. The Father will come and prune. Is it prune or clean? You know, clean you. You know. But you have to stick with Jesus. All right. Tell me practically, what does it mean? How do you alter your life? That you are actually spending time with Jesus. And as a result, the only measurable result. You know, some years back, I was not exercising at all. And I was kind of growing, and I wasn't able to really walk and run and do things. And I was with my grandpa. And he says, hey, do you do any sport? And I said, yeah, I do. And he said, well, whatever you do, it's useless. He didn't ask me, what do you do and how much of it do you do? He measured by, you know, he was walking me out. And you know what I mean? And in other words, I don't know. Nobody wants to measure the way you spend the time with the Lord, but how much time, how you do it, but by the fruit. Because if I do the sport right, it should kind of do something with me, right? And if you spend the time with the Lord right, there has to be something growing. It's just not possible that you do it right and there is no kindness. There's something wrong. Amen? So tell us, please advise us, preach to us, teach us. What is the Lord telling you? What do you have in the Bible? By the way, you can use whatever you are good at. If somebody has a PowerPoint, puts it on, presents us, you know, in bullet form, if somebody preaches, if you want to use whiteboard, do whatever you want. Okay, it's not spiritual, non-spiritual. Yeah, so spend time with God, number one. The second picture you did write it down. Mortifying the flesh. You know what? Can somebody who is sure about English spelling? Because I don't know, mortifying is a Y-Y-I, you know? Well, come in. I'll do the talking, you do the writing. So, I think I would have it done right, but I'm not sure. So, mortifying the flesh. You did clearly say, you did very nicely said, it was there. You know, one of the things that holds you back, you told me, is your flesh, your carnality. Isn't it so? Amen? Stay there. Mortifying the flesh. Sacrifice. I don't know if you speak about fasting or this or that. Tell me, practically. Don't preach to us scriptures without understanding. Tell me practically what you are going to do and what you advise us that we can do or stop doing to mortify our flesh. Next week, that is. Next year, that is. Yeah, from now on. What? You know, not today at the meeting. But next week, what do we do? What do we do different? How do we mortify our flesh? I mean, it sounds religious, doesn't it? It sounds mortifying flesh. Yeah. But what does it mean? Tell me situations. Tell me scriptures, of course. Maybe how you sacrifice, number three. I understand from the Bible that if you want to become a son, you have to drink milk, right? You have to feed on Christ. The Word of God is the milk. Amen? Huh? Yeah? So, tell me, what exactly does it mean? So, feeding on Christ. Feeding on Christ, comma, milk. You know what I mean, the milk? You know the scripture I'm talking about, right? Yes? It's like your little...
Huh? There's meat, a strong bone.
Sure. You'll come to the meat. So, put meat, milk, comma, meat. But definitely not a vegetarian. Strong meat, yeah, very good. Very good. Metamorphosis, you know, all these principles, tell me what practically it is. What you can do or stop doing in the sense of feeding on Christ. And again, be practical as possible. Okay? How do you do that? What do you advise me? Or, when you one day advise somebody else, what will be the advice? Number four. Tabernacle. It's a picture given to us. And this is exactly the same picture, isn't it? It is to take us from Egypt, really. Because Egypt is outside of the tabernacle. Through the born-again experience, being baby, to the Holy of Holies, where you are Son of God. You might, do I have it right?
Yes.
Huh? So a tabernacle is actually the same thing, to take you through, you know, the process. But we can know about tabernacle, we can quote tabernacle, we can draw tabernacle, but we have to live tabernacle. So please advise me, as practically as possible, what do you do next week about tabernacle? You know, somebody says tabernacle, so how do you, you know, go about it? How is it, you know, practically in your life? Do you understand what to do with it? You know, how to travel through tabernacle? Do you go to foreign land, find a tabernacle? You know, get to Jewish school of priesthood? You know, or what do we do? How do you, you know, take the steps? And maybe you have taken some steps already. Maybe you're baptized, or you know. But what are you practically going to do next week about tabernacle? You know, is it just a doctrine? Is it just teaching? Or is it possible to live it somehow? So tabernacle. Number five. There's a spiritual world, isn't there? And you told me one of the things that is holding you back is the devil. We did qualify... Not qualify, what is the word? Categorize. We did categorize devil as not being equal, which is a very, very important message. Okay? You have to overcome it, but be aware, if you resist him, he has to run away. Isn't it? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee away. So, you have the power over the devil. You have it, just utilize it, exercise it. Alright? So, tell me, resist the devil. You can speak about resisting the devil. You can speak about the spiritual world. Maybe you can put down spiritual world. Maybe you can speak about facing your giants. You know, if it's not devil himself, but a spirit. You know, your familiar spirit or some other spirit you're fighting. And again, thank you. You're done. And again, I would like you to be as practical as possible. Please advise us and advise to yourselves. What is the thing you will do next week? How are you dealing with the spiritual world? What is the Lord teaching you? Maybe what are the things that you are not doing and He's putting on your heart that you should be doing? You should learn. You know, how do you tackle a spiritual world? Are you aware of spiritual world? Are you actually in some way living in spiritual world? When we had a Q&A, people asked, what is heaven? And we did speak that Jesus, in John 3:13, isn't it? He spoke about the Son of Man, which was Him. And He said, the Son of Man who is presently in heaven. So Jesus was talking to Him while He was presently in heaven. It was Elisha, both Elijah and Elisha, who, you know, were able to be both in heaven and earth at the same time, here and there. And it was Elisha praying for his servant. Is it in English? Gehazi? Yeah, anyway, it's Gehazi in Czech. So he prayed for his servant and said, God, open his eyes that he sees. That he sees that there is more with us than there is with them. And God did open his eyes, the servant's eyes, and he seen the multitudes and the hosts. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, or when Jesus was there facing the Pilate and other people, at the same time he's in heaven and there's hosts of angels with swords, and they could take care of the situation in a minute, which is more difficult. It's like you have a gun and you can take care of yourself, and God says, put it down. And you allow them to execute you while you have a gun. You know what I mean? He had access to all the spiritual... I mean, if you walk in a forest, if you walk in the night and you are afraid, Maybe you pray, God, open my eyes that I see. And you, if God does that, you would start seeing, you know, the multitudes of people with you, protecting you, able to take care of you. Amen? Are we aware of the spiritual world? Are we aware of who we are? Or is it something we hear in the church and we don't kind of count with it? You know what I mean? Teach us, please. Find scriptures. Find your experience. And maybe it's something that you still have to learn. So tell us, what will you do and learn? Amen? I believe, I'm absolutely confident that you can do it. There's so much knowledge in you, experience. You know it.
Amen.
Amen? We are so much excited and looking forward to what you bring. Amen? Go for it.